Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life business. They're the best in the business because they believe deeply in customer service. They know it's what makes their business go, so they want to make sure they go the extra mile. You want to make sure they save you money. Make sure you're fully insured, whether it's auto, home, life business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever it may be. Could be bundles. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The whiteout game will be the Iowa game. I think in some ways, I think sort of hinted at that the last couple of weeks, and that I think I mentioned something that when it was brought up, I said it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be on NBC. I said it could be on CBS, for example. So that was my roundabout way of telling you that I probably knew. Okay, so sorry about that. Sometimes I got to do it that way. Because I don't want to circumvent. And I did that in speeches, too, when I've been doing speeches. I sort of hinted that CBS was a possibility and that West Virginia, in all likelihood, was not going to be the whiteout game. But West Virginia is going to be the helmet stripe. They did that for the Michigan game 2 years ago. So the rest of the stadium is white except for the center part where they have the blue helmet stripe. That game will be at 7:30, and that game's on NBC. Delaware will be the Thon game. They've raised $204 million for Thon over the decades. And that will be the Thon game, will be the Delaware game. Then at 8 o'clock on the 23rd, CBS, it is the whiteout game with Iowa. And let's face it, I mean, this is Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson. They'll send their A team to go in there. With NBC, they want to put Notre Dame, and again, because Notre Dame is the home team, it is not a Big Ten game. Notre Dame's the home team, so as part of NBC's contract with Notre Dame, they want that game to be in prime time. That opened the door for, since it's a Notre Dame home game and not a Big Ten home game, it opened the door for CBS to do this game and to do it at 8 o'clock at night. Homecoming is UMass. That's also the Generation of Greatness game. Indiana will be Military Appreciation on October 28th. Michigan is going to be the Stripe Out on November 11th. And then Rutgers on the 18th will be Senior Day and All U Day. So there you go. The Penn State football season is presented by PSECU. So that was the announcement officially today. The whiteout game is Iowa at 8 o'clock on Saturday, September 23rd. Helmet stripe opener with West Virginia, and the stripe out will be Michigan on November 11th. So those are the seven home games. Homecoming is UMass, but I think everybody already knew that. And we go from there. So there you go. The Sixers.
Get the lingerie on the deck. And, call the janitor.
I'm trying to think if I said it here or someplace else. After the Sixers won Game 5, I said they would not win another game. Just a gut feeling. Some teams have it. Some teams don't. And this is why I do not get too wrapped up in the MVP part. As you know, I don't get too wrapped up in the MVP part. I think I've made that plain over the years. It doesn't matter who's won the MVP. It doesn't matter. I mean, Joel Embiid set a record. Do you know what the record he set? You don't know what record he set? I thought you knew everything about Joel Embiid. Biggest drop-off in points per game in the playoffs compared to the regular season by the MVP. 9.5 points fewer per game. Right. This is, okay, to me it's all about winning and about the playoffs and winning in terms of performance. It is one thing to go out there and play a big game against the Lakers. Oh, and by the way, the next game of the road trip is the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh.
Or the next game of the road trip is the Portland Trailblazers. Well, when you're in a series, you play the Lakers, and your next game is against the Lakers. Oh, and your next game is against, the Lakers. And your next game is against, the Lakers. It's not against the Lakers, then you play Orlando next. And then we play Portland. And then we play San Antonio. And then we play Detroit. Where you've got four games where you're, I mean, do you need your best? And the regular season intensity is just completely different compared to the postseason intensity. That's a big problem the NBA has. You can see it. The playoffs are exponentially better than the regular season. You can see it. The quality of basketball is better. You can see it. Because now you've been able to weed it down. Some teams may have great players. Portland has Damian Lillard. But he doesn't have anybody else around him. Okay? Just doesn't. The last five quarters of basketball. The last five quarters of basketball. The Sixers scored 101 points. In the last five quarters of basketball, they scored 101. In the last five quarters of basketball, Jason Tatum scored 67. The big reason, there are so many reasons why I'm just like, the MVP is great for an individual to win. So please, I don't want to put down anybody's accomplishment, and it is a great accomplishment to be your league's MVP for a season. And it's something you can never take away from Joel Embiid or anybody else that has won the award. Right? But if you're sitting there and you give me a choice in their prime of the seventh and deciding game of the World Series, and I can hand the ball to Clayton Kershaw or John Lester, who do I hand the ball to? I hand the ball to John Lester. Why? Because John Lester has won deciding games in series with brilliant performances. Like, not once, but has done it multiple times. Okay? I want to go to the plate with the money on the line. Do I take David Ortiz or Aaron Judge? Who do you take, Matt?
Much as I hate to say it, Ortiz at this point.
And how many MVPs has Ortiz won in his career? None.
None.
He
okay.
never once was the MVP of the American League. Never. But the money is there on the table. I need to win. I do not pick Aaron Judge. He has come up small in the postseason repeatedly. Repeatedly. Ortiz, on the other hand, bigger the moment, bigger plays. I don't care what year. 4, 7, 13. It doesn't matter. He had a terrible series against the Detroit Tigers in the 2013 American League Championship Series. But nobody remembers that. You want to know why? Because down three runs in the bottom of the ninth inning, he had a grand slam and won the game. Money on the table. Okay? Who would I rather take the game-winning shot in the deciding game? Joel Embiid or Robert Horry? Who would you pick?
To me, it's
Robert Horry. It's not even close because Robert Horry has done it, whether it was with the Spurs or the Lakers.
He
is not an all-star. He is not a Hall of Famer. He is not. But for some reason, when it comes time, crunch time, he's hitting the big shot at the end of the game. It's uncanny. That's why they called him Big Shot Bob. Okay? Some guys, okay, I've got a choice between Mike Trout and Bryce Harper. I pick Bryce Harper every time because he has shown me over and over again he can do it. Mike Trout wins all the analytics awards, but in the postseason, he hit a home run his first at-bat and no hits since. Shohei Ohtani. Nobody knows. I don't know. I want proven entities. Same thing in basketball. You get to the deciding game. Steph Curry gets 50. Giannis, deciding game, Phoenix, 50. Jason Tatum, deciding game, 51. Your guy, 15. Money on the table. Last five quarters, scored 19. Other guys scored 67. James Harden. Really?
Yeah, it's time for him to go. He can go back to Houston. That's fine with me.
Your organization chose Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the many dumb moves on this front office. No question.
I'm telling you,
Tobias stinks.
Okay? But again, it's not. You will never take away that he's the MVP. Never, never, never. He'll have that the rest of his life, and he deserved it. He deserved it.
But it sure looked like he stopped playing once he got it.
Well, let's put it this way. He only played six games in the series, and they were 2-4 in the games he played. He didn't play game one.
Yep.
And this is, there are certain people, Kawhi Leonard, as much as you may not like Kawhi Leonard, guess what he does?
Yeah, he wins, and he makes big shots.
He makes big shots, big plays. Yeah, he sits out too much. You may not like LeBron, but LeBron hits big shots. Right? Kobe Bryant, big shots. Okay? And this is something, this is why I do not get wrapped up in the MVP. I just don't. I need to see people perform when in the NBA, okay, after the Sixers beat the Celtics, guess who they had to play again? Oh, the Celtics. And then when they lost that game, who did they have to play again? Oh, the Celtics. They didn't have a game with Orlando to puff up everybody's stats. Didn't. What knocked out Golden State? They lost the first game. In the second game, okay, they won. Then they had to go to Los Angeles, and they had to keep playing the Lakers. They didn't have a game with Portland. They didn't have a game with Utah. They had to keep playing the Lakers. The Lakers are better. And that's what happens. The cream rises to the top. That's why in the playoffs, the intensity is different. It's a possession-by-possession game. You don't have to think about it in terms of playing quarters. You've got to play possession-by-possession. You look at hockey. If you're in hockey right now, right, which hockey's got they've got a ratings disaster on their hands. They've got Vegas against either Dallas or Seattle, and they've got Carolina against Florida. Right? It's going to be on TNT, the finals. And they don't have any stars left. Connor McDavid, who, by the way, played very well in losing for Edmonton. McDavid played really well. Auston Matthews, who is a great player, no goals against Florida in the series when they needed him. He didn't score. And this is what I've said about certain guys along the way. That's what I've said about Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge does not come up big in the postseason. Where's the Aaron Judge signature postseason moment? Where? Pick it out. You've got his entire career memorized.
None, but when it comes to him, he hasn't had that many opportunities.
He has an opportunity every year. What are you talking about? He doesn't go anywhere with it. Okay? He doesn't have many opportunities. What are you talking about?
Okay? Embiid has.
They don't go. They've been in almost the same amount here. Aaron Judge. Here, I'll look very quick. He's been in the postseason almost every year. Almost every year he's been in. Okay? Let's see here. Batting, show minors. I could do that. I know he didn't play against the Spikes because they skipped him. Let's see. Postseason batting. Let's see. Postseason game log. What we got here? Okay. No. These are all his games? Okay. Okay, postseason. He's had 198 plate appearances. 171 at-bats. He's hitting .211. Okay, what do you mean he hasn't been in it much?
I thought there was one or two postseasons he was hurt and didn't play, but I'm
17. He played in 17. He played in 18. He played in 19. He played in 20. Played in 21. Played in 22.
Well, you're right. I can't think of one of a signature
because
moment
he doesn't.
Right.
You can't because he doesn't have any.
Yeah. No, I'm with
okay?
you there. Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't have any. I mean, sure, he's hit 13 postseason home runs, but he's had 198 plate appearances. I mean, he's going to hit some, but he's hitting .211. He's got a .310 on base percentage in the postseason. Okay. In terms of at-bats, he strikes out on the average more than one out of three every time he's at the plate in the postseason. 66 strikeouts, 171 at-bats. I mean, again, that's what the problem was for A-Rod forever until finally get to 2009, he finally broke through. But you can get all these incredible stats that make the season fun for everybody. But you can't keep running out against the Oakland A's pitching staff. You're going to have to run out these days against a better team that goes, okay. And that's why people always, every time I bring up the Lester and Kershaw thing, who's the better regular season pitcher? Kershaw, by a wide margin. Who's the better postseason pitcher? John Lester. Just is. I can't explain it. But some guys just react differently. And Joel Embiid does not react well in the postseason. And neither does James Harden. Oh, they have moments. I mean, Harden's had moments, but you got to be able to do a game in and game out. Now, did Tatum have a great series? No. With the last five quarters, when they needed it, hey, we're losing in the fourth quarter here. Bang, 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 bang. Makes some statement ridiculous in the post game, then goes out and does it all over again, except for four quarters.
Oh, yeah. Embiid was the definition of soft most of this series, especially the last game six and game seven. Soft. Hands down.
I mean, again, there are certain guys. That's why I don't put. I mean, I congratulate anybody that wins the MVP. It is significant, the whole deal. But this is why I don't make a big deal out of it. I can't make a big deal out of it because I've got to see it when it's the better teams, game in, game out. Game in, game out. I got to see this. I mean, have to. So, he was minus 19 for the series on plus minus. Not good. Or last five games, he was minus 19. That's not good.
But he might as well have been minus 19 for the series, because that's how he played for a majority of it.
Well, no, I think it's even higher, because he was a minus in game. I only have the last five games.
Regardless, he and the rest of the Sixers organization has some serious soul-searching to do this offseason. And I question where Joel Embiid's mindset is right now. I really do. After that epic embarrassment of a performance yesterday, and in Game 7, the way he was laughing and joking with Tatum after the fact, after he just got his rear end handed to him by that guy, and he played terrible.
But you know what?
He needs help besides him and Harden. I mean, enough is enough.
He does. I mean,
he's not wrong, but you don't say that after that type of performance like that.
Let's take Tobias Harris. Would he even play for the Celtics? Who would he replace? White? Brogdon? Who would he replace? Williams?
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, and RV, doesn't matter. They'll get you the best price, may do it with bundles. And customer service means everything to them. It is all at Sunbury Motor, all at our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. Jody Mack joins us. Jody McDonald, my friend, welcome back. Great to have you back.
My pleasure, and that insurance company you just did the commercial for sounded good. Pretty Purdy. Oh, that wasn't Purdy with the Sixers laid on the floor of the Boston TD Garden yesterday, was it, Steve?
No, it was not. And as I pointed out, the last five quarters that the Sixers played, they scored 101 points. And in the last five quarters, Jason Tatum scored 67.
Oof. Yeah, he dominated, and he rose to the challenge and came up huge. The Sixers did not, and even at that, you decided to go over five quarters. I felt okay at halftime. When they were down 3 points, they had the lead in the first quarter, they hung tough. They scored 26 points in the last two quarters. That's one quarter of NBA basketball. They scored it over two quarters of NBA basketball. That's just a complete no-show and collapse. And, yeah, there's got to be massive repercussions off that disastrous final half of the season.
No, I mean, there's no question about that. It has to. Here's my question on Joel Embiid. Great individual player, right? To say anything less, you'd be foolish. Right? But does he make the other guys better? He makes the team better, but does he make other guys better?
No, but he's not the first player to ever be like that, who's just a solo act. And if you're waiting for Joel Embiid to become a facilitator, if you want to critique him and say he's been in the league for X amount of years and he's still a pretty bad passer, I think that's fair. But I think his game is his game is his game, and it was good enough to get him the MVP. What he needs is he needs another killer and finisher to play next to him. Was Jimmy Butler that guy? Maybe, and the Sixers might have made a mistake by prioritizing Ben Simmons over Jimmy Butler. James Harden is not that guy. Those that they've tried to make that dual threat with Embiid have failed, and that's still what they've got to accomplish here during this offseason. If they're not going to go to process two and trade Embiid, well, then they have to find that complementary star who can finish games to play alongside Embiid. And I don't know how you go about doing that. It's easier for you and I to say it here on the air than it is actually to get it done, but that's what the Sixers have to do.
No question. There's only one team wins. I mean, and the whole thing. But you're seeing now, when I look at him, I see regular seasons that are special, but I've seen him go through six playoff years, and only one time has he shot over 50% from the field in a playoff year.
That's not going to get it done. That's why you need the second option on the night where Embiid isn't shooting well. And he had some very good playoff games, but he had some mediocre playoff games and some god-awful yesterday playoff games. On those days, you have to have option B. And the Sixers haven't had that during the entire Embiid run.
So what would you recommend? Do you recommend they acquire somebody else to go with him? Do you say it's a strip down? Do you change coaches? What do you think?
To me, if we're talking, and everybody's got different definitions of different words, you just use the word strip down. Strip down to me equates to process, and that means trading Embiid, letting Maxey walk, trying to see if someone will take Tobias Harris, even though you'll get very little in return. He is tradable because he's on the last year of a contract, but you're going to get next to nothing for him, and you're just looking to clear salary cap space. That would be a takedown. Go back to process like levels of bad and then try and rebuild it back up. Or you keep Embiid. Maybe you have to move Maxey to get that other guy, Dame Lillard, or someone along those lines who can be a killer at the end of games, and you give it one more roll with Embiid. Those are the two directions you have to go. It's got to be either one or the other, all the way down to the studs, or whatever asset you have to be able to get that 1A star next to Joel.
Because he's 29, and I see the window with him 2 to 3 years realistically. Yep. All right. And so you've got to make, I think that's the tough decision that you have to make in this league. What about Doc?
I think Doc's a dead man walking. And of the reasons that I would say they lost yesterday, lost the series, lost again in the second round, Doc is down the list. He's not at the top of the list. But as we've seen in the NBA this offseason, my God, Budenholzer 2 years removed from an NBA championship. See ya. Nick Nurse 3 years removed from an NBA championship. See ya. Mm-hmm. Monty Williams, the coach of the year in the NBA last year. Mm-hmm. They go out, turn over the team at the trade deadline, bring in Kevin Durant, shed all the depth that they have, and when they lose, see ya. All these coaches have better resumes than Doc Rivers in Philadelphia. How does Doc Rivers keep his job if all these other guys are given their Walker papers? Yeah.
And I agree with you. He's not like, I'm not sitting there in the office going, there's the problem. I'm with you. I mean, he's down the list. And you know what really hurts when I look at this from a Sixers point of view? Is the Celtics are a really talented team. I mean, Tatum and Brown and, you know, and Malcolm Brogdon and so forth. But the Celtics are not a smart team. They make a lot of plays where you sit back and go, where was that pass supposed to go? And the Sixers couldn't take advantage of that, and that would irk me more than anything else.
Now, I think we saw it in the playoffs in the first round against Atlanta. They had their foot on their throat and let them come back and force a game six. And the same thing with the Sixers after Boston wins game two and game three. They could have put the Sixers away by winning game four. They didn't. It goes all the way to seven. So you're right. The Celtics are an imperfect team, but there is no perfect team in the NBA right now. They might be the best of the imperfect lot.
And we'll find out. How much have you watched the Lakers lately?
Plenty. I'm up. I'm on the air a bunch of nights.
Oh, good.
So,
okay.
I'm on the air while the late night games are being played, so I get to see them plenty. There's a guy who needs to get some credit, Rob Pelinka, their general manager. Didn't know what he was going to be able to do at the trade deadline. You got your two superstars. They have what the Sixers don't have, which is an A and a B superstar. LeBron and Anthony Davis are playing great together, but they needed some other pieces around them. Not major contributors, just guys to do their job and fill a role. And darn it, Pelinka didn't go out and get those guys for him at the trade deadline.
Yeah, especially Hachimura. I think Hachimura has stepped in and quietly just been a pro's pro and has played really well for them. Whatever you think.
Yep. Oh, coming off the bench. There are a lot of things that have changed in the NBA. I've only been watching it for years. One thing that hasn't changed is coming off the bench has always been a key. Going back to John Havlicek, which is almost 50 years ago. That key sixth man role, change the tempo of the game, go in against the other team's second unit, be able to dominate. Yeah, Hachimura is a perfect off the bench, instant offense, change the tempo of the game type guy for the Lakers.
And Malcolm Brogdon is the Celtics version of John Havlicek today. So that's, you know.
Who is that for the 76ers? Bang Bang George Niang, who once every four or five games could have it going and be a guy who lifts the team, and the other four of those five games, he's a defensive liability who can't get open from three.
I maintain that Tobias Harris, who starts for the Sixers, would not be in the Celtics rotation.
He wouldn't be the first or second guy off the bench. You might be right about that. More like number eight. That's an issue. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And I oftentimes defend Tobias because I think everybody judges him purely by his contract. And you have to. In a cap league, you can't just blow that off. So I readily admit he's overpaid. But he's not a bad player. He's a good player. He's borderline a very good player. When you're making max money, you're supposed to be a great player. And he's never been great in his career.
All right. So in those late nights when you're watching, what do you thought of Denver? Now that they have Jamal Murray back, what do you think of Denver?
Here's where I'm going to give the Nuggets a whole bunch of credit, at least what they've done here in the postseason this year. They had the best home record in the NBA, and people say it's very difficult to play at altitude. A lot of teams, when they're doing their load management computing, they'll say, well, we'll just give them off the Denver game to begin with because we're going to sit them X amount of games. We might as well give them a game off where it's going to be difficult for them to play anyway. And I think that contributed to their outstanding home record. Well, we're in the playoffs now. So you're playing back-to-back games. So you're in that altitude for 3 days. It shouldn't be near as big a factor anymore, yet it continues to be. They're 6-0 in the playoffs at home. That's more than just altitude. That's the fact that they're a damn good team.
And to me, I mean, Jokic is Jokic. But when they got Murray back, who had to sit out almost all last season with the ACL, it really changed the dynamics of that team and brought them back to at least to a level where I think they can go toe-to-toe with the Lakers, and we'll find out.
Yeah, he's a legit number two star. They have two stars. The Lakers have two stars. Whose two stars will turn out to be best? We'll see. Maybe they push, and it comes down to everybody else in that series. But the Lakers are going to have to. They know they're on the road, so they're going to have to go in and win in that building at least once. Nobody has so far in the playoffs. We'll see if LeBron and Davis can pull that off.
Jody, you're one of the best when it comes to – you're one of the best at almost everything I talked to you about. But one of the best when it comes to horse racing. The Preakness is coming up this weekend. Any sneak peek in your mind as to what we could see? Because this is another unpredictable one.
We'll find out in about 2 hours. Less than that now. 5:30 is the post position draw. It's going to be a short field, Steve. If your listeners are out there looking to make a killing because the Triple Crown races are big paying races, this one's not going to be. It's going to be either 8 or 9 horses compared to what was supposed to be 20 at the Derby, which turned out to be 18 because of all of the defections late. It's going to be a small field. The Kentucky Derby winner is the only horse that's coming from the Derby Mage, and I think he's going to be 6-5 or 7-5 in here, and he's going to be tough to beat. I'll take a shot. The horse that I am very interested to see what his morning line odds will be, they'll post that after they pick the post positions in a couple hours. Red Root 1 is a horse that won a qualifying race for the Kentucky Derby down in Arkansas at Oak Lawn called the Bathhouse Rose Stakes. Off the pace, tremendous kick. Has not faced the likes of the Kentucky Derby winner like Mage. But if he's more than 10-1, I think he's absolutely a play. Mm. That's the only one in the field right now that I'm thinking can beat the Kentucky Derby winner.
The only issue I have with Mage is this. Lightly raced and coming back in 2 weeks.
Correct, and has never done that before, and that's why they call the new entries the new shooters. Usually it's split about 50-50 in the Derby field going forward to the Preakness. You get 6 or 7 horses coming out of the Derby, 6 or 7 new shooters. This time it's going to be 8-1. No new shooters over. The only Derby horse that's coming is Mage. You're right. He's the only one who's going to have to come back off 2 weeks, and that's why you'll probably be well advised to take a shot to try and beat him, because I don't know that you want to be playing him at 6-5.
Had to slip it in. You're too good at it. That's why. Hey,
no problem, bud. My pleasure, Steve. Anytime
thanks,
you need me, buddy.
You bet. Thanks, pal.
You got it.
Jody Mack, Jody McDonald. You keep hitching your wagon to the regular season. That's what you keep doing. And you build up these people. This is what you do, Matt.
Well,
I know it's an enjoyable 6 months. I got it. Yep.
But here's the thing, though, just when it comes to Embiid alone, is because of the growth that we saw from him this season, I thought that would carry into the playoffs. Now that I've seen the outcome of it, not only that, too, you look at his numbers, but also look at the 6 times he's been in the playoffs, 5 of them including this season, he's been hurt, which may or may not have contributed to his mediocre to god-awful play yesterday. That's not to make an excuse, I'm just throwing it out there. Regardless, he's not at his best, whatever the circumstances have been, and now that we've seen the outcome of this, I'm done. I am done focusing on that now. I'm done advocating for this guy, because guess what? This was, even though I didn't think the Sixers were going to win the title this year, I thought they had a shot more than last year to get to the NBA Eastern Conference Final, and they didn't do it. And he was a reason why. So I'm done. I'm not on the trade him bandwagon yet, but next year is a big year for me. And I still think he needs pieces around him that the Sixers have just neglected and ignored for the last several seasons. They've wasted his prime. But at the same time, he needs to do some soul-searching this offseason.
I think that he is a player that is a great player. But it's a team game. And they acquired Harden for a reason. But they, and Maxey, what was the first question I asked all of our preview series guests, including Kate Scott? Who's the third?
Correct.
I asked all of them that. Remember that?
Yes.
Because that's how this game is played. Hey, who's the third? All right. Doesn't have to be the same guy. Maxey sort of is. But the problem is, after Maxey, the drop-off is dramatic. Okay, with the Celtics, you can feel like Brogdon's the third. Oh, and by the way, Marcus Smart can be the third. Right? And it's rare when both of them aren't playing well. Oh, and by the way, Derek White could be the third on a given night.
Yeah, both sides of the floor.
Right? I mean, in other words, is Derek White a great player? No. But is he a good player? Yes. Hey, is Grant Williams a great player? No. Is he a good player? Yes. And that's the problem the Sixers have. They don't have enough good players on the team.
Exactly. And that's been the way for the last several seasons.
right? And that's been the issue the entire time, is that they've got one of the best in the game in Joel Embiid. They've got one of the top 25 players in the game in James Harden. But then the drop-off is dramatic. I mean, it's like having a great number one starter, a terrific number two, and your third starter is a five. I mean, yeah. Maxey may not be that, but you know what I mean. The drop-off is dramatic. That's why when I talk about football depth, for example, I'm always looking at when you put the next guy in, because you have to play, you can't just keep playing 22 guys. You can't, especially in today's game. How dramatic is the drop-off when you put them in? Remember what I said before the Rose Bowl? Clark Phillips won't play NFL draft. Joey Porter Jr. won't play NFL draft. Advantage Penn State. Why? Because they have Johnny Dixon. Utah doesn't.
No question.
Right? But again, that's what I'm talking about here. It's the drop-off in the Sixers is too dramatic, where they're not deep enough. I mean, the Lakers, Rob Pelinka, Jody's right. Rob Pelinka he acquired other guys to at least keep the drop-off from taking them off the cliff. Schroeder actually started the season with the Celtics. Schroeder's now with the Lakers. Is he great? No. But is he better than what they had? Sure. Lonnie Walker, right? Is he great? No. But is he better than what they had? Sure. It makes a big difference. And for the Sixers, once they get past the top two and then Maxey's kind of like there, they fall way off. And that's a big problem. It's a big problem. And Embiid, as great as he is, when you're playing another really good team night in and night out, okay, that's where you need your depth. People have to step up in that case. And that's why they can't get to the third round. They haven't been able to yet. All right. Come back more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.